www.attableek.com, The Reviver of Iman.
إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين صدق الله العظيم. Respected scholars, brothers and friends, we meet on a very cold evening, on a very snowy night. To the world it's a night of absolute celebration. And on a night like this, where generally people indulge in sin, it is an act of worship just not to sin. When a night where people indulge in sin, just to be away from sin is an act of virtue. Allah lavishly praises the people of the cave, the sleepers of the cave. And if you really look at what they did, they left sin and went to go sleep. Allah speaks about them in the Quran. It was a place where shirk, kufr, disbelief was taking place. All they did was they decided to flee, disassociate, distance themselves from sin, took amnesty in a cave and went and slept. And Allah was so impressed that Allah accommodated their sleep. And Allah created this image of fear on them that nobody would dare approach them. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاطًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. You would perceive them to be awake, yet they were fast asleep. And when a child sleeps, and a toddler sleeps, then you would find the mom would toss the child and turn the child, change the posture of the child to keep the child comfortable. Allah would send the angels to turn these people. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And we would turn them to the right and we would turn them to the left. And that's not all. When the sun would rise in the morning, Allah would make the rays of the sun divert and go across so that the early morning rays of the sun does not disturb their sleep. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ. Likewise, ثُمَّ miraculously, generally you're sleeping, the curtains are open, and then the rays hits you and it's a blinding light. You're flying and somebody decides to open the shutter. Could be the most disturbing thing, like, what are you up to? Two things can disturb you when you're flying. You could be in a business cabin on a flat bed and all you need is you to have a child in that cabin. And you feel like you're in economy. Right? And the second thing is, it's a long haul and you're sleeping, and some gentleman decides to open the shutter because you know what, the light above his cabin is not adequate for him to read his paper. And it's like, this is a blinding light and it can be so disturbing to your eye. The Quran says that when they went to sleep, Allah made the rays of the sun divert across the cave so that it doesn't disturb them. And what was their achievement? What were they striving for? They basically kept away and they slept. So really, this is a night where people indulge in so much sin and so much wrong and so much vice. On such a night, for Allah to assemble us in His house is a greater ni'mat than any other night. We ask Allah to keep us in His obedience. Ibn Abi Dunya has made mention of a narration. اِلْتَقَى رَجُلَانِ فِي السُّوقِ. Two people met in a marketplace. فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا لِلْآخَرِ. One said to the other, تَعَالْ نَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي غَفْلَةِ النَّاسِ. Brother, everybody is so heedless, oblivious, careless, negligent about Allah. Let's just speak something about Allah. He said, okay, that's fine, I don't have an issue with it. But the environment around was not palatable or conducive. And he said, come, let's just speak together. So they engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spoke, the other one heard, the other one spoke, he heard. That was about it. The gathering ended, they both dispersed and off they went. The one passed away, the other one seen him in a dream. مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكْ. Brother, so how was it? You appeared before Allah, can you tell me? عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفَرَ لَنَا عَشِيَّةَ إِلْتَقَيْنَا بِالسُّوقِ. Do you know the night I met you when people were heedless, oblivious, and I said, come, let's just speak a little bit. And you said, yeah. And we spoke about Allah. Allah forgave us because of that. And I promise you, my brother, that's the journey of life. The journey of life is we know not which action can earn us the happiness of Allah and which action can cause us the displeasure of Allah. يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. That's the pattern of the Quran throughout our life. We've got to strike the balance between hope and fear. Constantly, that an immoral, unchaste woman could offer water to a dog and secure her paradise. And a religious woman could detain a cat and be harsh to an animal and earn her hell. Right? These are the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At-tahbir fi tadhkir. It's a name of a book. In that there's an incident mentioned that a person appeared before Allah and his good deeds were presented. And his good deeds were very minimal. And he's like, okay, it's over for me. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَزِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. Whose good deeds are light, then his abode is Hawiyah. Hawiyah is one of the names of hell. We heard in the Isha Salah, Saqar. مَا سَنَكَكُمْ فِي Saqar. Saqar is one of the names of hell. Lava, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا لَبَى. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى is one of the names of hell. Right. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. هَاوِيَةً is one of the names. سَقِيلٌ إِنَّا عَتَدْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَقِيلًا. سَقِيلٌ is one of the names. These are different levels and different names of Jahannam. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. Those that ended up in hell, may Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. What would we answer them? Why did you end up in hell? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِينَ. We were not amongst those who offered prayer. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we did not feed the poor. We did not feed the poor. And with the grace of Allah, by coming here to you today, is part of the mission with Islamic Relief. We are doing great work in reaching out to challenged communities, locally and abroad. And that's the kind of message that I'm coming to reinforce to myself and to you. As a human and as a believer, we have an ethical, moral, and religious responsibility to everyone who inhabits the earth. So in Surah Ma'un, we recite Surah Ma'un. Right? Ma'un means trivial kindness. In the first three verses, Allah speaks of the disbeliever. In the second three verses, Allah speaks of the munafiq. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, have you seen the man who denies Qiyamah? Have you seen the man who denies Qiyamah? Now what is the result of denying Qiyamah? When you don't believe in Qiyamah, what happens? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. He rebukes the orphan. Because when a person believes in Akhirah, his demeanor, his attitude, his approach, in everything will change. That is why in the Quran where Allah spoke about the fraudster, the one who cheats in business. May Allah protect us. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe be to the fraudster, those who cheat. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When it's time to collect from people, they demand in full. You owe me a dollar. You owe me this. They ask you the last penny. The Quran doesn't condemn their demanding. The Quran condemns their returning. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا. When they wait from people, يَسْتَوْفُونَ. They take full. وَإِذَا كَلُوهُ أَوْ وَزَدُوهُ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when they go away and give to people, then they deficient. Then they shortchange people. What did the Quran say? أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. This action of theirs is a reflection that they forgot about the interview with Allah. Because you cannot be conscious and cognizant of accountability before your Creator and still cheat people in their business. It's not possible. إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ. إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ. Shu'aib alayhi salam said to his people, you are affluent, you are wealthy, and you still cheat. Not to say if you're not affluent, you can cheat. But Allah has given you so much, and yet you cheat. So Allah said, those who do this here, they have forgotten. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. when you and I will stand before Allah. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ. Every one of you would be addressed by your Lord. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانِ. There will be no translator between the servant and the creator. يَنْدُرُ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. يَنْدُرُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. You'll turn to your right, you'll only see your actions, if you have. You'll turn to your left, you'll see nothing but actions. You know, you are traveling and you stranded or something, and you give a card and they say, sorry, it's not swiping. You're okay, okay, no problem. And you take out another card and it doesn't swipe. Now they're spending. Because one, you relied on another. No problem, okay, wait, I'm just going to do two phone calls and I'll be back with you. You pick up the phone, there's no network. Right. Everything is failing you systematically. So on the first point, no, I'm fine, I'm in control, I'll deal with this. You wait, I'll deal with you. And nothing comes up. You check this pocket, there's nothing. You try the third card, there's no debit. There's no funds. It's exhausted, depleted. You try another card, it doesn't work. You pick up the phone, probably no airtime or no network. The hadith says, you turn to your right, oh, there's nobody to help you, there's actions if you have. You turn to your left, there's nobody and nothing. The only thing is actions. And you look ahead of him, فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارَ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِ. You'll see nothing but the blazing fire. Nothing but the blazing fire. And how, what would be the flames of that fire? The Quran says, إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرٍ كَالْقَصْرِ كَالْقَصْرِ كَأَنَّهُ جِمَالَةٌ صُفْرٌ. إِنَّهَا فَعْلِي تَرْمِي جَهَنَّمْ hell will hurl, will throw. إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرٍ will spark. كَالْقَصْرِ, the magnitude and the size of a spark of hell will be that of a palace. كَأَنَّهُ جِمَالَةٌ صُفْرٌ, it will be like yellow camels. When it will drop down, the small version of that spark will be a camel. May Allah protect.
Amen.
Really, my brothers. لَا خَيْرَ فِي لَذَّةٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا النَّارِ. لَا خَيْرَ فِي لَذَّةٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا النَّارِ. There can be no pleasure, enjoyment in any recreation or indulgence post which there is the fire of hell. There's nothing to it. There's literally nothing to it. How can you excite yourself or hype yourself about any form of luxury and pleasure? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا وَمَا تَلَذَّتُمْ بِالنِّسَاءِ عَنِ الْفُرُشَاتِ وَلَخَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى السُّعَدَاءِ تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. If you knew what I know, you would have been laughing less, you would have been crying more, you would have been running out and begging Allah for His help. So anyway, Allah says, have you seen the man who denies Qiyamah? The result of denying Qiyamah is, فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. Because he doesn't believe in Qiyamah, he'd be harsh to it often. And you know what, my brothers? The crisis in Aleppo, for which they are doing a collection drive, there are hundreds and thousands of orphans. Hundreds and thousands of orphans. A sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, my heart is gone hard. I cannot cry. I often say in the time of the companions, the one who couldn't cry was the odd one. And in our gathering, the one who cries is the odd one. So when there was a talk, people were naturally moved. They were emotionally, that's how people were naturally moved. And if you couldn't cry, you felt awkward. That I couldn't cry. I couldn't cry. Because crying is part of our deen. If we've reached the point that we can read Quran and not cry, we can make dua and not cry, we can see the Kaaba and not cry, we can see kind brutality happening in the world and not cry, I promise you, we need to start crying that we can't cry. We need to cry that my tears have dried up. That's the death of the heart. And what did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to the companions of the Allah? إِمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ وَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Do two things. Sit with the orphan. Sit with the orphan. And just pass your hand over him, sit close to him, and go and feed someone poor. And you see how Allah will soften your heart, it will melt your heart. Earlier this year, I was going to Albania, also with a charity organization that's doing great work there. And I will not forget, this was cold weather, probably not snowy, but really freezy, icy weather. And finally, we went out to give some food hampers. and we climb and summit this mountain, and we go to the zenith of this mountain, and finally when we get there, I am actually shivering to be the host, the guest, they wanted me to hand over the hamper. So I hop out of the car, there's a little brook and stream of water. I kind of scale over it, and then as we walk in, it's muddy, it's rainy, it's cold, it's chilly, and we inch in, and I'm like, where are we going? And there's a brother living there, and there's a small little simple place there. We walk up this place, and when we get there, there's a chicken that hops over my shoulder, and I shrug my shoulder, and I'm okay, but you need to be sensitive because people are living here. People are living. For us, it's like, oh, okay, but hang on, people are living. We get in there, there's an elderly couple, sitting there, wallahi, Allah is listening. This happened this year, earlier this year, in January I was in Albania, well, the last day of the year. You know, once I gave a talk on the 31st of December, it was New Year's Eve, so they had a gathering. So brother came to me, he said, Shaykh, that was your longest walk in your life. I said, no, I've spoken much longer. He said, no, you started last year and ended this year. Okay, if that's what you mean, point taken. SubhanAllah, we get in, and this is old guy, probably the grandchildren, sitting there in absolute desperation, waiting for food. And Allah's planning the food hamper is given, and the zakat is given. I cannot tell you the joy and the tears that trickle down. There's a language barrier. They speak not my language, I speak not their language. But human empathy and the sympathy of believers, we embrace one another. I was envying the donor who had given the money, who was earning the du'as. Because I could see when that man was praying, generations of that donor was being rescued. I said to my Allah, whoever that brother is, you know, lucky you, blessed you, I'm seeing the physical execution and the deliverance of the aid reaching. They were literally absolutely exhausted in total hunger, waiting for food to reach them. The planning of Allah, they then offered us by their hospitality, please sit down. I rotated my gaze. I couldn't see more than 5 utensils in that house. We come out of there. They take me to visit some madrasas, one after the other. We reach one particular madrasa. They said, Sheikh, you need to visit this place. There are orphans here. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. And I'm like talking, you know, whole day long. 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. We get in this place. There are like 15 girls this side, 15 boys. The teacher then informs the host about the, because it's under this organization, they're running this institution. Just brief them with the dynamics and the demographics of the class. And he asked one of the girls to stand up and just give a brief introduction on the class, the makeup, etc. So the girl stands up, in broken English she speaks to me. My name is so and so. I'm 4 years old, my father died. My mom, she has diabetes. And she go for dialysis. You know dialysis? That's the dialysis that I said. No religion in my life, total poverty. The organization come and help us here, and alhamdulillah, today we start learning our religion. My whole life depressed, but my best time when I put my head on the floor and I make sujood to Allah. When I heard this, like, my body was actually shivering. And I could actually feel this going around my bones. And then she sat down and they said, Shaykh, say a few words. And I'm dumb. And Ya Allah, what do I say? I look around, it isn't a dry eye. Everyone in my group is moved to tears. This girl has inspired us and moved us. And I mean, you think of our kids in the lap of luxury, sitting soft, all going good for them, hunky-dory, sitting on phones, gadgets, devices, well, you know, everything is moving in their life. And this is a girl coming here, breaking even, dad's late, mom's in a crisis, trying to learn her deen, find her feet, grappling and battling. And when I came back, I made an appeal back in my country to my family people because I had some interviews on this trip. And I urged the people, I said, this is what it takes to run an institution for 1 year and you're reaching out to people to get basic Islamic education. They said, say something, and I said, Allah, you put something in my heart. And then I stood up and I just read this ayah, and the brother said, Shaykh, wallahi, Allah inspired you with the right ayah. I just stood up, I said, sister, to you and to everyone here in this room, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. I said, sister, I can't tell you anything. I can't tell you anything. I say to you what Allah said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Nabi, I found you as an orphan, but I sheltered you. And I say to you, my sister, and to everyone, you resemble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Allah's divine care is with you. But I promise you, my brother, there are tens of thousands of orphans that are out there in the world. We are sitting soft and we ask Allah to always keep us soft and comfortable. We are too weak to be tested and tried. But the reality of the life is that things are changing on the planet politically, socially, economically, financially, rapidly. We've seen in the recent times how things have changed, the landscape of the world. People that were in affluent positions overnight lost their empires. People that were sitting in thrones were dropped down. So nobody can sit soft or feel that he is safe. If we respond to the call, in a verse of the Quran, one of the arguments, you know, when the devil comes and he whispers things. So one of the devilish indoctrinations that the disbelievers made in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to make these remarks. How strange. The Muslims say that if somebody is wealthy, he's wealthy because Allah made him wealthy. And if somebody is poor, he's poor because Allah made him poor. So okay. So Allah decides. As the Quran says, أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. أَضْحَكَ, Allah makes some smile. أَبْكَى, Allah makes some cry. Right? أَحْيَى وَأَمَاتَ, Allah gives life to some, death to some. أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى, Allah gives wealth to some, poverty to some. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ رَبُّ الشِّعْرَى, Allah is the Lord of the stars. وَأَنَّهُ أَهْلَكَ عَادًا الْأُولَى, and it is Allah who destroyed the nation of Ad and Thamud. Yes, the disbelievers were questioning. So they would ask the question, like, this is strange. If Allah made some wealthy and Allah made some poor, then why must we give money to someone whom Allah doesn't want to give money to? You see, you get these so-called intellectual minds, and the devil comes and whispers. And he does long whispers. The Quran speaks of others, they used to come and say, oh, but this is very strange. When an animal dies a natural death, meaning Allah gave it death, then it's haram. And when you slaughter it, it's halal. So in other words, your slaughter makes it permissible, Allah's killing makes it haram. These are the kind of whispers the Quran speaks about, right? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّى أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَّتِهِ أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَّتِهِ فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانُ ثُمَّ يُحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ. Allah says that that verse, through which there is a degree of ambiguity, of vagueness, if you pay it up with the verses that are clear and explicit, then by virtue of that, Allah clears any sense of ambiguity or uncertainty. The answer to that is very clear. Or there is a verse of the Quran, I'll give the answer to both of them. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Every soul that's on the earth, Allah says, I will sustain it. So Allah has taken the decree to sustain every soul. Why are so many people dying in the world out of poverty? So many people in the Horn of Africa, so many people in other parts of the world are literally dying out of poverty. And the declaration of the Quran in the 12 juz and Surah Hud is that Allah will sustain. What's the answer? I'm going to say the answer is very clear. Allah has put a plan in place. And Allah's plan is, it's not that Allah told you to give somebody whom Allah doesn't want to give. Allah has entrusted us to pass our money over there. And Allah's plan is to sustain every soul. If every one of us discharges the due upon us, no soul on this earth will die out of poverty, because that is the system of Allah that is in place. That is the system of Allah. It's a simple thing. A dad has left home and he's entrusted his eldest child that, listen, these are the funds, take care of everything. He hoards the money, usurps the money. And then people make a remark, oh, what kind of father is this man? He would just neglect and forsake and abandon. No. Somebody was entrusted, and the person who was entrusted committed a breach in his trust. And really Allah has given us a trust, my brother. And I'm in no capacity to quantify myself, because I have to look down in my own heart and see how much I have failed the cause myself. But I say this to remind myself and to remind you, we have a great duty and we have a great obligation to Allah. Let me read that ayah and conclude, and then inshallah the brothers from Islam Relief will make an appeal. And it's an opportunity, really, it's just an opportunity. The ulama say, every man who goes to paradise will enter because of the mercy of Allah. That's the, we know that, it's a hadith as well. However, every occupant of paradise will have a different action which will attract Allah's mercy. So ultimately, it's the mercy of Allah. So somebody might argue, well, if it's the mercy of Allah, then why should I perform good deeds? The answer is very simple. You only become eligible for the mercy through good deeds. Without good deeds, you don't become deserving. So it's basically, you need your passport, and then it's at the discretion and the prerogative of the ambassador to give you the visa or not. But if you don't have a passport, there's no way you're getting a visa. But it doesn't mean if you have a passport, the visa is guaranteed. But if you don't have a passport, there's no visa. So you've got to do good actions. Good actions doesn't necessarily mean it would be accepted. But if there's no actions, there's no jannah. However, after the performance, it is in the hope and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does Allah say? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the man who denies Qiyamah? Right. Because he denies Qiyamah, he can rebuke an offer. A man who fears Allah will never rebuke an offer. He will never be hard with an offer. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ. Tell them they ask you regards to the orphan, to unite them, to reconcile them, to integrate them. That is the best thing. If you join them, they're your brothers. But let it not be that somebody dies as an orphan and he leaves behind, his father leaves behind rich assets, and you take him in your house to eat up his wealth. Allah knows the one who brings an orphan close with a good intention, and Allah knows the one who does it with an evil intention. These are the values of our faith. Our faith is a holistic religion. When his father died and he left behind money, you take care of his money. You don't give it to him when he's not responsible. فَإِنْ أَنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَاتْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. When you perceive maturity in the boy, they say, listen, you died, your dad died when you were two. This is the money that was left behind. Here I pass it over to you. And when you do that, then what will happen? What's your reward? The Messenger said, myself and you will be like this in paradise. Myself and you will be like this. He displayed it while he was alive, and post his demise, he left behind teachings that the legacy continues. So Allah says, if you don't believe in Qiyamah, you'll be harsh to an orphan. كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. No, you don't take care of the orphans. بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. You don't respect the orphan. وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ. And you don't mutually support the feeding of the poor. The ulama saying in this ayah, Allah did not only frown or object on those who do not donate, Allah objected on those who do not even encourage. And that's exactly what Allah mentions in this ayah. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَتُحُّ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. He doesn't encourage people to feed the poor, because he lives a life thinking everything is his. So these are the three attributes of a disbeliever. If there is no sympathy or empathy in my heart for the believer, for the orphan, then really that's not the quality and the attribute of a believer. If I'm not donating or supporting or encouraging or motivating or inspiring or cajoling someone towards the spending and donation, then again that's not the quality of a believer. The Messenger said, two angels descend daily. One say, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. And another one saying, Allahumma a'ti mumsikan talaba. Allah, whoever is spending in your path, it's our dua, give him more and replace him and bless him. That's the angel making dua. You ask me to make dua, you ask the ustad to make dua, you ask the pilgrim to make dua, you ask the child to make dua, and rightfully so. The Messenger sallallahu is saying, you will hear the angel is making dua, just do the right things. Just do the right things. I often say, and I've given a talk on this, I don't want to digress into it now. One is the requested prayer and one is the earned prayer. The requested dua will not make magic in your life. It's good to request, it's fine, it's not a problem. But that's not going to change your destiny. That's not going to bring miracles in your life. Request the duas. We request prayers and provoke curses. Right? So we offend people and then we request the dua. It doesn't work. But the real prayer, my brother, is when you oblige and comply. Then that dua, as a parent, if my child serves me, they don't have to request. When he's going to serve me, my heart's going to pray. And when my heart's going to pray, it's going to rescue him right through. That's the dua. When you reach out to a person and you do what he needs at that moment, by Allah, that dua, what it does, help a disbeliever in distress, help an animal. Ya Rasulallah, alana fil bahaymi ajr, alana fil bahaymi ajr. O Nabi of Allah, if we help animals, will Allah reward us? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, feed any living creature and paradise is yours. Feed any living creature. You see someone in destitute and poverty. I come from South Africa, where poverty unfortunately is rife. So, you know, we find difficulty when we see people having to discard food or people having to leave food. It really galls me. It really hurts me. And alhamdulillah, we have the opportunity. You went to a takeaway and you take out the food, whatever's left, you wrap it up, and there's a man waiting outside the road and he sits down and he crouches and he eats. And you just feel good. Good, not that you've helped him, good that hopefully when he eats it, Allah will forgive your extravagance in the meal. Because we are extravagant in our meals, and we know we're answerable to Allah. So Allah says, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. He doesn't encourage. It's our duty, moral, ethical, and religious, that we support. And then the next three verses, Allah speaks of the munafiq, and we conclude. فَوَيْنُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Wail in Arabic has two meanings. Either it could mean a fight in hell. It could mean a fight in hell. Or wail could mean woe, destruction. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe be to those who pray. May Allah grant us sincerity in our prayer. May Allah grant us khushu. May Allah grant us focus. May Allah grant us diligence. May Allah grant us that day, my brother, when we drop our head in prostration, we find difficulty to raise it. Now that's the pinnacle of ecstasy, where your head is down and it's three subhanAllah and you see just another two. And then it's five and you see just another two. And it's you're on the phone and it's one site and then you're perusing another. And then you check it and another minute. And then you're browsing again. And you're shopping again. And it just goes on, it just draws you. How about that spiritual ecstasy? How about that pleasure where you drop your head down and it's like magnified? There's a magnetic force and it draws you to the ground and it's your connection with your Creator and you just cannot raise your head. You just cannot raise your head. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing salah and Abu Jahl comes and he says, oh, you're performing prayer again. You better stop. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will never stop. So he comes close and he says, I will hit you. And as he comes close, suddenly he withdraws. So people ask him, what happened? He said, بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ خَنْدَقْ مِنْ نَارِ. As I came close, I seen this great flames of hell. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if he had to inch any closer, the angels would actually strip his entire anatomy up. He said, we're going to call, I'll call my group. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَا. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَا. Tell him he must call his group, سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَا. We're calling our angels. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةِ. When the verse was revealed, عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ in Surah Al-Kafir, that we have 19 angels in charge of hell. So Abu Jahl and others have started making remarks, oh, 19, oh, that's not too bad. I'll grab one, you drop two, you'll hold five, and the others will just let them go paradise. It's in Madarik al-Tanzeem. So Abu Jahl said, no, me, I'm strong, I'll drop. And the other one said, oh, you need to help me, I'll drop 17 myself. So Allah said, "Oh foolish, oh naive person, we're not talking of humans, we're talking of angels. One is enough to wipe the earth out." وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَةً وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَةً وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And we specifically made 19 to test you. You're going to say that, but why not 20? وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ. We didn't make their number but to test you. And that's what Islam is about, compliance. Not running your logic. Today we're living in a world, everything needs to be analyzed through the eye of logic. And surely Islam recognizes the role of logic, but there's a point where logic cuts off. Logic cuts off. So Islam does not deny logic. Logic is a vehicle. That is why for a person to be responsible for the laws of Sharia, he needs to be saved. Sanity is integral. He needs maturity and sanity. If there isn't sanity, he's not liable. He's not mukallaf. Rufi'atil aqlam. He's not liable. So intelligence is recognized. He needs to be mature. There needs to be a level of interaction. So there's a cut-off point. You don't run everything through your logic. There's a point where it cuts off. The great giant, Sayyidina Umar, comes to the black stone. The hadith of Muslim says, Ya Hajar, inni a'lam annaka Hajar. مَا تَنْفَعْ وَلَا تَضُرْ لَوْلَا أَنِّي رَعِيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يُقَبِّلُكَ مَا قَبَّلْتُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh stone, you remain a stone. And I know you're not going to elevate me. And I know you're not going to disgrace me. But Umar, put your logic one side. Your Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, kiss the stone. Kiss the stone and earn your paradise. That's the balance of our faith. That's the balance. One of the problems that have plagued our youth is they've been independent in trying to claim their religion. And trying to find their faith and analyze everything through the eye of logic. And that is dangerous, that is catastrophic. That would cause you your faith and your iman. May Allah protect us, may Allah guide us, may Allah keep us under His divine care. So, for wayrul lil musalleen, holy to those who perform prayer. What kind of prayer? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who are negligent of their prayer. The ulama say, Allah was exceptionally kind. Allah said, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ. And Allah didn't say, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah said, woe be to those who are negligent with regards their prayer. And Allah didn't say those who are negligent in prayer. Because if Allah had to curse those that are negligent in prayer, none of us are spared. Then we all are gone. How many of us? It's like, you forget in which rakat is a standard occurrence. That happens 4 times a day to me. Which surah, which rakat, how many units did I make wudu or not? Did I read kunut or not? Oh, that's common. No. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. These are the qualities of a munafiq. Now, what's the quality of a munafiq? الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. It does very little, and when it does it, also to show people. لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They remember Allah very little. مُتَذَّبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ. May Allah grant us sincerity. Do something secretly in your life, whatever it is, you and your Allah. Don't whisper it to anyone. You know the devil, when you do something good, actually, then he says, no, I need to tell my wife, listen, I just want to tell you that, yeah, there was a family who came and then I gave them a donation and everything. I just thought I'd let you know, in case the masjid calls up to give you a seat, so just, you know, in case tomorrow my eyes close, just to let you know what's happening. Well, hang on, you've been also flirting some illicit relations, probably some secondary phones, you know what I'm talking. No. There could be many other secret things happening in your life as well. The ulama says sincerity is when you have a passion to conceal your virtue as the passion you have to conceal your wrong. You know, when a person has something unsavory on his phone, how protective he becomes over that device. Hey, leave the phone, give you a time. You don't ask questions. Just leave it. Right? Yeah, I'm going to take it in the washroom with me. I've got an important call coming. Right? Don't ask questions. And I'm very protective and possessive because whatever the nature of it is, when it starts concealing our virtue, right? Say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to liberate slaves. Go buy the freedom, go worship Allah. Go buy the freedom, go worship Allah. جَزَى اللَّهُ خَيْرًا عَنْ بِلَالٍ وَصَحْبِهِ عَتِيقًا. وأقصى فاكها وأبا جهل عشية هم في بلال بسوءته ولم يحضر ما يحضر المرء ذو العقل بتوحيده رب الأنام وقوله شهدت بأن الله ربي على مهلي فإن يقتلوني يقتلوني فلم أكن لأشرك بالرحمن من خيفة القتل فيا رب إبراهيم ويونس وعبد وموسى نجني ثم لا تبلي. The Prophet said, may Allah reward Abu Bakr for liberating. Go find your freedom, go. Go find your freedom. His father, Abu Quhafa, wasn't a Muslim. He said, listen, my son, I don't understand. Later he became a Muslim. Abu Bakr, his father, later became a Muslim at the conquest of Makkah. So his father said, I don't understand you. It's your religion and you know better. But you're treating these people. They're so weak and they're so feeble. You need to treat people who are strong, who are robust, who are muscular. So tomorrow, when you're going to call on them, they are morally obligated to help you because you did them a favor. Why do you treat people that don't have any strength? And he said, my dad, I try and help. Now listen to this. And I'll make an appeal on this note here, inshallah, for the Syria crisis. I try and help people in whom I see no remote possibility of reciprocation, that they cannot return the favor to me. I can take my reward full from Allah. I try and help a person in whom I do not see the most remote possibility of reciprocation so that I can take my reward in its entirety from Allah. Allah revealed the verse and the hadith is in Hakim. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. His kindness is not motivated to offset a previous favor. He's not doing someone kind because he was good. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. He's not reciprocating, he's not compensating. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاء. Purely motivated by the pleasure of Allah. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And soon Allah will be pleased. Soon Allah will be pleased. And then how does Allah conclude the chapter? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. They do little to impress people. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. And they withhold trivial acts of kindness. Small acts of generosity they cannot do. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, الْمَاعُونِيَ means zakat. And Allah referred to zakat as ma'un because it is a very small fraction of our wealth. So Allah said ma'un. Ma'un is a small, common, basic. The neighbor asked probably cotton or asked to borrow an egg or probably a glass of milk or a pillow or something simple, basic, trivial. Common courtesy, common courtesy. A munafiq is one that doesn't display common courtesy. So the point I'm saying is, my brother, Allah made it possible in my opening comments for us to gather and assemble at the night. If people are indulging and really, you know, celebrating and doing a thousand things. It's virtuous alone not to be in those gatherings. The fact that Allah protected us and we ask Allah to protect our youth. Really, our youth are the more vulnerable segment of our society. In one night, one drug, one gamble, one rave club. You know, one marijuana, one this, one bad company, and it's gone, gone. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, oh, I left the company of these people because they were bad. So then I went across to those people. And then I realized these other people are also not good. The only good about these people is that they're not doing the bad of those people. Then I said, wait, hang on, there's no real good people left in the world. فَتَرَكْتُ أَسْفَلَهُمْ لِكَثْرَةِ شَرِّهِ وَتَرَكْتُ أَعْلَاهُمْ لِقِلَّةِ خَيْرِهِ فَتَرَكْتُ أَسْفَلَهُمْ. I said, no, this is bad company, man. Negative influence here. I don't even want to hang out with these people. I'm not coming close to my Creator. I'm not doing anything constructive. So I said, let me back off. And then I said, let me befriend these people. And when I got close here, hang on, these guys are not any better. The only thing good here is they don't perpetrate this own negativity. But no positive energy being transmitted. سلام على الدنيا إذا لم يكن فيها صديق صدوق صادق الوعد منزلا. He said that I'm better off without any friends if there's no good friends. Hamad bin Waqid said, one person said, I was sitting by Hamad bin Waqid rahimahullah, and a dog came and the dog was sniffing. So I tried to chase the dog away. I said, this is a sage of the age. There's a pious man and a dog in his neighborhood. He said, Dahu. هذا الكلب خير من جليس السوء، هذا لا يؤذيني. Leave the dog alone. This dog is better than bad company. The dog is doing what it has to do. It's not harming me. It's not harming me. Wallah, we need good company. Wallah, we need good company, my brother. Sit with people who motivate you to deen. One person said, Muhammad ibn Wasi' was this great scholar of deen. Every time my faith and my spirit used to dwindle, I used to just go and look at him. And then I used to feel energized. For weeks on end, I used to feel motivated. كنت إذا وهنت في العبادة وكسلت في العبادة نظرت إلى محمد فتنشدت في العبادة أسابيع. That he was such a man of Allah that when I looked at him I said, no man, this is a man of Allah. So really my brothers, inshallah, one of the brothers from Islamic Relief would come forward and he would give you a little breakdown. Allah be warning for your patience. May Allah give me the tawfiq, may Allah give you the tawfiq, that we all put our shoulder to the wheel and respond to the call. Responding is one, it might be the means of our forgiveness and the rescue of some person, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana, for the inspirational, spiritually uplifting, eye-opening reminder. And Jazakallah khair, the brothers, for allowing the Islamic Relief to bring Shaykh here and to allow myself to introduce what we do. Alhamdulillah, I'm part of an organization which is the largest Islamic charity in Canada. We work from coast to coast. Ulama, organizations, masajid, we have brothers here from Toronto as one jamaat that they can attest to the fact that we align ourselves and collaborate with the masajid. We're very transparent. CRA goes through our book. We're part of many different organizations. Alhamdulillah, we have over 100 offices in 40 countries, physical offices in countries. What does that mean? That means that when you donate, when you help, your money goes to extra distance. How many of you can get a show of hands and know what's happening in Burma to our brothers and sisters? There's a crisis around the world. There's a forgotten people. In Syria, we turn on the news, we see what's happening. Palestine, Africa, you name it, Muslim country after country, place after place, disaster going on. This is where Islamic Relief is making a difference. We're on the ground. You have Islamic Relief staff, physical staff on the ground making a difference. And today I want to extend that opportunity to you, brothers, to help us help those that are in need. I don't want to spend too much time. I know the Sheikh already mentioned, and that should be enough of a motivation to give and to help our brothers and sisters. Sheikh mentioned the story of the little girl in Albania. Imagine if you give a donation today, and somebody in Syria, in Aleppo, somewhere around the world, in Yemen, receives this. For you, it's simply a couple hundred dollars gone, done. Move on, next day. Imagine when these people receive this money, receive this food. Imagine the tears that trickle through their eyes from their eyes. Imagine when they raise their hands and make dua for you from the bottom of their heart. This is the opportunity you brothers have today, right now. So inshallah, we're going to call Mawlana Iran, who's going to do a short appeal for you brothers to help Islamic Relief help those that are most in need, inshallah.
And our esteemed scholar, Sheikh Ustad Mawlana. I think he has elucidated, elaborated, and the importance of our connection with the greater Ummah, our connection with the entire Ummah of Rasulullah, especially those upon whose hands, upon whose heads the hands of their parents has been lifted away due to the circumstances and due to whatever unfortunate situations they may be throughout the world. My dear respected brothers, we don't want to prolong, but we will stay here, inshallah ta'ala, until all the funds that are required are met, inshallah ta'ala. And I'm very optimistic. And alhamdulillah, we have seniors, we have Brother D. Muhammad here, we have the other uncles here, and mashallah, Imam Saad is here. Inshallah ta'ala, from this crowd, we hope to raise $50,000, inshallah ta'ala. I would like to ask, inshallah, begin, who will pledge $5,000, inshallah, who will pledge this? We have a program, Islamic Relief Canada, has a program that is providing direct assistance for families. $250 will help one family. And inshallah ta'ala, if we can pledge for 20 families, that is $5,000. If I can just have a raise of hands, and if everybody here can do something, this will be very, very beneficial, rewarding. And Islamic Relief has tax receipts, they will be issuing. And it's the end of the year, the last day, so whosoever will give, inshallah, it will be most rewarding. We don't have time limit, it's till 12 o'clock, then the year clock changes, the year will come 2017, so we have a couple of hours. We can make this short, or we can make this long. But the emergency state is here. MashaAllah, we have a jama'ah from Toronto, brothers that I know well from my masjid, they're probably wondering what I'm doing here. But I'm here for this cause. We're here for this cause. They are our, we see it on WhatsApp, real time. Not NBC, ABC, XYZ, broadcasting it and changing it. We have live photos of what is taking place on the ground. Aleppo has been erased. Hal, the thriving, prosperous city with thousands of Muslim men and women and families and children have been displaced, leveled, and we're sitting and seeing. And a question arises. I'd like to also, the ulama that are here, Mawlana Islamullah and others, mashallah, come out on this stormy night to be part of us from a very long distance, and Allah reward, mashallah. And the rest of the scholars and the brothers and sisters here. At least, my brothers. They don't have a place to go. They don't have food to eat. They're displaced in the cold weather. Maulana was mentioning, he's from South Africa. And it's very warm weather, but today in this cold, he said just 10 minutes, and he was, his hands were cold. Imagine those people for 10 weeks are without electricity. The brothers are sending out the pledge form. Please give at least $5,000. Who is ready for this cause in Aleppo, in Syria, in a state of emergency? And the funds, the Islamic Relief has their funds set up. They have their camps, they have their offices, and they have their state set up there. And they're providing aid and assistance, home essentials, food, shelter, they're giving blankets for the ones from parents and shelter. And there's a credit card machine, alhamdulillah. You can swipe the credit card. So even if you make the pledge tonight, if you want to pay immediately, which is most beneficial, then as soon as you, you know, you send that money, inshallah, it'll get processed right away. Just pledge for the swipe, inshallah, on your credit card. So, let us, inshallah, ta'ala, $2,500. That was actually, I wanted to start off at 25, but I just got a josh, I wanted to start off at 10. 25 is where I wanted to start off, and that's where we're at. So if I can have everyone raise their hands, Bismillah, let us raise their hands. $2,500. One hand up, one hand in the pocket, that's what they say. That's the strategy. If I can have everyone put their hand up, inshallah, this is serious, this is real. And I am so, you know, I'm so happy and glad. And I'm with Islamic Relief that they are doing this thing. They have a setup. Although their setup is recognized by the government of Canada. There have been accusations on them by a lot of people saying, you know, where's your transparency? What are you doing? Who are you giving to? And alhamdulillah, they had a complete auditing for every penny and every cup of whatever. Where has it been spent? And alhamdulillah, it came out clean, transparent, and alhamdulillah, many of the masajid, including the Islamic Society of Markham, Islamic Foundation, my own masjid in Toronto, support the Islamic Relief and the work that they're doing. $2,500, my brothers, for a few families in Aleppo to help them with this home package of blankets, food and clothes and some home essentials, inshallah. We had a whole nice response in the Masjid Rahmah that we were at. Just a raise of hands. I see the friends moving, that's good, alhamdulillah. Bismillah. Just a raise of hands from the brothers who are ready to donate $2,500. Let's move along, inshallah, strictly. And alhamdulillah. Let us raise this, inshallah, before we leave. We can lock the doors too, inshallah, so we can stay cozy inside. And Maulana has mentioned so much providing of importance, subhanAllah. This is an opportunity for us, my brothers. This is a golden opportunity where the brothers and sisters from Islamic Relief setting up there in Rakhine, but Myanmar, in the Rakhine province, and also in Yemen, they're doing work there. Medical supplies are being taken there, mobile medical systems in Burma. The Islamic Relief, alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give everyone a great reward in jazak, $2,500. If I can have a raise of hands for this. Someone, one person, raise their hand, inshallah ta'ala. I see they're writing it down. Alhamdulillah. The orphans. Very important.
The orphans. www.attableague.com, the revival of the